The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Welcome to the future you. Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "Study nature, love nature, stay close to nature, and it will never fail you." At Zija, we love nature. We study nature. In India, we discovered Moringa and created Moringa Supermix, a revolutionary new combination of organic ingredients, including natural vitamins, minerals, proteins, antioxidants, and omega oils. Zija's new Moringa Supermix will help you make a change for the better. Simply click on the Zija banner on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Power people need power vitality.
Hello, welcome to the Yes to Life show. I'm Robin Daly, host of the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, helping people with cancer to access integrative medicine. So the show is all about integrative medicine, and today's show is no exception. Dr. Etienne Calabou has been practicing in London for many years and offering people his own eclectic approach to helping people with cancer. He prides himself on not adhering to any particular movement in cancer care, but independently and continually investigating and adjusting his methods as he learns and as new approaches are developed and science moves on. He's interested in whatever works, whatever might help. For today's interview, I'm talking to him over Skype. Good afternoon, Etienne. Thanks very much indeed for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
So, Britain's a notoriously tough place to stray from standard of care to the extent that progress is almost completely stifled and the clinicians are not allowed to think outside the box to improve a lot of patients. I like to call it, well, I don't like to call it, but I do call it backward Britain. Now, you're Belgian. Now, what on earth has made you want to set up shop as a bit of a maverick cancer doctor in such a hostile climate?
Well, as they say in French, cherchez la femme. My wife is English.
Right. So. Okay, all explained. But nevertheless, I imagine you found it quite tricky to navigate over all these years because you've been practicing a long time.
Well, actually, I found this country much more freer about 20 years ago. You always had the structures, whether left or right, whether it was more state institutions or private institutions, where there was a full hierarchy, but you had these big lanes of freedom in the UK, which was quite appealing, I must say.
Right.
But now, you have a much more bureaucratic and a much more generally rules and regulations, so that the big lanes have become very narrow alleys. And that's very unfortunate with the sort of regulations we have to, what do you say in English? Comply with.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you waste a lot of time. And there's a sense of self-censorship that can come in after a while. I realize, for example, there was Shipman who has killed a lot of people.
Yes.
But you have to look like a detective. Where is it? Oh, it's in the NHS. Let's look in the NHS. Oh, it's doctors who have been together and with patients when they die. Oh, then we look at doctors who've been with patients who have died. Why not look at that? That's just pure looking at how it is without any prejudice. I'm not saying this is better or that is bad. That's it. But they invented the whole sort of system of control whereby your peers have to control you.
Yes.
And I'm afraid that there is a sense of self-censorship that is coming in.
Okay, well, not a great picture then. So I wanted to ask, I mean, there's plenty of easier ways you could have earned a good living as a doctor than trying to help people with cancer. What got you started on working with people with cancer?
Well, first of all, my father died with pancreatic cancer about 30 years ago, after 5 or 6 weeks. So that was very quick, as we all know. his late diagnosed pancreatic cancer. And I looked at all the possibilities. I looked at metabolic typing, which I never heard of before. And also another reason was that whilst I was practicing here, there was a man who did what is called the Gerson therapy.
Okay.
At that time, I didn't have a clue what the Gerson therapy was. Okay. We're talking 30, 35 years ago. But what I did see, that even though he had a big tumor in his abdominal area, he was still busy on his land and his garden. And instead of steadily going down, he seemed to thriving. And then all of a sudden, he very quickly died. Mm-hmm. And he was able to not to be in a hospital, not with lots of painkillers, mm-hmm. was very well conscious, and that made a big impression on me.
Right.
So even though we can't cure everyone, I saw that that sort of method was capable at least to make the people live in a way that was much more dignified. Now, I'm not putting down painkillers and you know, that can be very useful, but you have to see how you use it.
Yeah.
And I've seen over the years that the combination of so-called alternative therapies and orthodox medicine, because I don't really make this distinction, I call it integrative medicine, because both have very good points. And, you know, Western medicine, for emergency medicine and operations are, you know, you can't rival that,
right,
as far as I'm concerned, and what I have seen. On the other hand, if you look at certain chronic diseases, there are, you know, there are too many drugs and too many side effects, and in what way we can combine it. But at the same time, the people must be willing to do that, because you can't put all the blame on someone or something else or institutions or government or whatever. It's a choice of the people themselves as well, what they want to do or not do. Some people just want a pill and think of no one else and continue with their lifestyle.
Right.
If that's what they want, that's what they do. But there's another group who wants to do that. What I do object to is that people are obstructed to actually choose other ways to complement to their therapy or do complementary therapies altogether because it's more suitable to them or as a choice. But as far as I'm concerned, everything and everybody should be followed up with tests and see how the progress of the diseases as such. So that's very important as far as I'm concerned, because you can feel very good with some therapies, but your cancer can feel very good too. And if all together, that's why you need to follow it up, because I've seen that before. It's a tricky area. So as you can see, I don't have particularly a lot of friends because I'm not fanatical about anything. I look what works and what doesn't work, what combination work and don't work, and then work from there. And as far as I'm concerned, that's rather scientific, because you shouldn't let the prejudiced emotions or certain actions that come into based on whether you have to write a report of the hospital where you're in, and the hospital is sponsored maybe by a pharmaceutical company, and then you don't lie, but you might be lying by omission. And that's the problem these days, that a lot of medical facts are not mentioned by omission. So it's not a straight lie.
Right.
That's what we get nowadays, and you have to be able to delve into that. And we've seen that many medical publications will be discredited because by whom it was sponsored. And we have to be aware of that. That doesn't mean that there are not very, very good studies. In fact, all what I do personally is based on studies, and these studies come from university. You wouldn't believe it. But these studies are not used. It's amazing how many studies are not actually used. You can trace them all back. They're there, but they're completely ignored.
Right. Okay, well, it's interesting. There's quite a few people calling for the use of real-world data, as it's called, actually monitoring. You know, we've got this massive experiment going on in the NHS with everybody. It could easily be all tracked to find out what's actually working, but they're not. And it's a tragedy, really. Okay, so you've been ploughing your own furrow, as they say, treating people with cancer in what could be described as an eclectic manner for many years. I seem to remember that you were an established part of the scene when I was first setting up Yes to Life some 14 years ago. The climate for many of the approaches you've taken has changed considerably over the time, fortunately. I mentioned the word maverick when I was describing your position in the past years, but what kind of response do you find you get to your methods these days?
Well, the response are very mixed. Some oncologists are very open to these changes, but this seems to be mainly happening in the US. You have, for example, MD Anderson, the biggest hospital for cancer in the world in Houston, Texas, where I had a big chat with Professor Agarwal and Professor Moshe Frankel. And they went, for example, to Calcutta to see Dr. Banerjee. And Dr. Banerjee had been curing with homeopathy, believe it or not, for those who are listening, but a special kind of homeopathy with different type of solutions, where glioblastoma multiforme, which is a form of brain tumor in its most severe form, and sarcomas proven on MRIs and scans and all the rest, they sent a whole team, because they couldn't believe it themselves, to Calcutta. Then they came back, and now his type of homeopathy, which is vilified, by the way, in this country for some reason, even recently when it was taken off the NHS, for some incomprehensible reason. MD Anderson used homeopathy as their first choice of complementary medicine. So I don't understand why they do that. Also, in homeopathic circles, it's often forgotten what Hahnemann did. He looked at diet, he looked at lifestyle, etc. Some homeopaths have seemingly forgotten and only prescribe homeopathic remedies, forgetting the sort of naturopathic approach or that goes with it at the same time. And these things are done too. You know, Agarwal, who is a famous professor, he might have gotten, I think he might get the Nobel Prize for TNF-alpha, tumor necrosis factor alpha, the discoveries and all the rest of it. But at the same time, he wrote a big book on NF-kappa-B anti-inflammatory of curcumin, turmeric. Right. So you have this overlap, happens all the time. In Chicago, you have Keith Block, the head of the of a unit of oncology at the University of Chicago, where they restrict people on food the day before and the day of chemotherapy, or do fraction chemotherapy, and the cancer cells are more hungry, so they eat more of these things. You have the same things happening in Turkey, in Istanbul, by three US-trained oncologists who are Turkish, who have extraordinary results with insulin, with the ketogenic diet, etc., etc. So all these things are happening, and I just wish at some point all these things can come together, can be done in the hospital, because many things for now are simply not done. And at some point, it would be very useful to learn from each other, and instead of being busy or forbidding homeopathy and being completely sure of what they do, can they look a bit, please, outside themselves and look at other ways of doing things that work together. Having said that, there are excellent developments that are happening in the hospital, treatments with this new type of immune therapies, of which Jimmy Carter has promoted with getting a drug called Keytruda. He was stage 4 melanoma, which is a very aggressive cancer of the skin that has spread, that worked very well with him. So we have to look at everything with how it works together. In conclusion, these things can work together and try to reduce the side effects as much as possible and look at everything.
Can we come back now to your patients? Somebody new comes along with cancer. Could you tell us what the things are that you want to know about them? What are you looking for?
Well, obviously, I write to the oncologist to know, in order to inform and not to do anything that is contradictory, because the patient doesn't always know everything or hasn't been told everything. So I need to be perfectly bold. I want to always cooperate with the hospital. And at the same time, I have to know what they want to do, what they don't want to do, what they're willing to do. You ask them everything, the usual structure. From the beginning, you go to all the systems in their body, when they start, and all the rest of it. And then when that is done, you look at what they have done up to now, what their current state of health is, what they are able to do, not do. I always prioritize the detoxification. If a patient comes along and they say, I come here, for example, because my wife told me so, then I'm definitely not the right person.
No.
I know that many roads lead to Rome. Many people can be helped in different ways.
Yes.
It's like a big hologram. You cannot think this will work. Yeah, and the other thing will work, and the other thing will work. And you have to find a certain synergy without wanting to do everything. Often, as I said, detoxification is why with removing certain things. And with removing, it also means negative people, by the way, because many people sit in an environment and people are constantly negative or putting them down, or they have a certain psychotherapy where the psychotherapist is only happy when people have cried. That is okay for a while, but the immune system goes down, for example, after Gestalt therapy. That can be very good, but if your immune system goes down by 300% over 3 or 4 hours, that's no good. Then I like more the attitude of Laurence Duchamp, who did 30 years of breast cancer psychotherapy, and he saw ultimately in the last 10 years he had a positive result with psychotherapy when he did with people not what is wrong with you, what you can do about it, but what is right with you. So you have to look at the attitude and the influences, because I have mainly spoken about the physical things, because that takes a lot of time to go through it. But psychologically, and the Russians have proven that, you can change the genetic expression with meditation, with biodanza from Dazi from Chile, with theta states, and anything of that nature. There's also a website called radicalremissions.com, which is a very good website, which basically says, well, you need 50% of your food fresh and vegetables mainly above the ground, etc., etc. And you can't be dogmatic in your approach, but you remove the toxins as much as possible, and you start very slowly to get into anything that makes the body more cancer unfriendly, so that other things can have a much better impact on the body, because the body is not busy getting rid of Roundup or other toxins inside the body that we everyday swallow. We only have to go out and there's nanoparticles of plastics, nanoparticles of God knows what in the air, and our body has to deal with that. They're not necessarily carcinogenic, but if our body has to be busy with that, then it cannot be busy with that. It's like, right. I'm talking to you now. If someone would come in the door, knock on the door all the time and ask me, then I'm disturbed. Then I can put my total attention to what is happening, what we're talking about, and then I get distracted. That's the same thing. Our body has to be busy with that, but it wants to be busy. You want it, or I and the patient wants to be busy with the immune system, or getting rid of the cancer, or getting rid of disease, with all the help it can around itself. That's what needs to be looked at, and that's what you want. So right. In that sense, and then you obviously do certain tests with the patient. You obviously ask what the hospital has done. Often the hospital does not test for certain heavy metals, and you do like the heavy metals inside the red blood cells are find a good test. Tests are done not just to know what to, but the more I get older, the more tests you do, the tests in order to know what not to do.
Right.
So that you don't overwhelm the patients.
Yeah.
And because an important point is, you have to tell the patients what they shouldn't do. Like in Germany, you have this place where people get one or two glasses of champagne every morning, and they have excellent results. I say, what's going on here? Took me years to talk about that because I wanted to see that. Then I found out the champagne area has all the phosphoric acid in the soil. That is ATP. That is energy. On top of it, because of the double fermentation that the champagne undergoes inside the bottle, we're not talking about cheap fizzy wines because they inject CO2 basically, that has nothing to do with fermentation in the bottle. Then they notice when they ferment in the bottle, all the substances that the cancer would like is gone in champagne. So when they drink champagne, obviously if your liver is bad, you don't drink it, but the champagne itself doesn't feed the cancer and increases your energy, and people also feel happier when they drink that. The same thing is with 90% or higher of chocolate. You can even make mayonnaise if you want to with olive oil. They're not on the market. They say olive oil, but it's only 5%. There are those with avocado oil. What is it? It's a raw egg yolk, rosemary, apple cider vinegar, sea salt, and 70% avocado oil. That's it. And if you mix them together, why not? You can't eat strict things all the time. You know, we had people that are on the Gerson therapy, and they hadn't had that 30 juice. That was, that's why it's not going to work. And the stress that it causes of not having the 13 juice, for example, in a day, is much worse than not having the 13 juice. Mm-hmm. Some people use certain diets and other types of therapies in order not to cope or deal with other issues in their life, so that they continually focus on that and that only. And, you know, has led up to marriage breakups and God knows what. That's not the thing we're after. We're after looking what works, looking what is the most important things for someone, and basically go from there. Then when you have all the test results and when everything is together, we make up a complementary therapy, usually along the lines with what the hospital is doing, because I never say to anyone to stop whatever they're doing. We basically try to modulate the immune system, as I said, detoxify, increase possibly the heat, because the heat shock proteins in cancer cells are usually much less efficient than in other cells, so they die easier with higher heat. And the list goes on, what you can do regarding detoxification. And there are a number of natural substances that increase the healthy stem cells, so that can be done too, and that works all together. But we always have to see how people react, what they want to do. Obviously, if they have a spouse that is opposed to what they do, that is a big obstacle.
It's a problem.
And that's very difficult to navigate around that, or children who are against it, or anything of that nature. Mm. You know, if someone smokes and eats lots of trans fatty acids, lots of rancid vegetable oils, that is all putting a burden on the system, a burden that you don't need. So you can maximize their chances by maximizing their physiological and psychological and emotional well-being, so that anything that is being done, that the body itself can start to clear up what's going on with the help of all the therapies that the person has sought out. If there is a chemotherapy that they choose, then you can enhance that with 1 or 2 days before and during, to have what I call green days. You give green soups or green juices, depending on the climate, so that there's no real calories in there, but there's still detoxification happening, that you reduce the glucose. With fasting, I mentioned it just, that's one of the biggest tools, but you need a lot of, willpower with it initially, or you think you can't do it, but it's actually easier than you think. And because during fasting you lose quite a lot of stuff that you don't need, it's a bit like the cold now. The people in Cumbria, so I read yesterday in the news, start to burn their furniture because help doesn't come, the RAF must go. Now, that's happened when you fast. When you fast too long, you're dead. But when you fast, you burn up basically all the stuff you don't need. Mm. Dead cells, cancer cells, bad mitochondria that gives you energy inside the cell. And once it is done, they have seen that you make much more healthy stem cells. So just by that fasting, and then you bring back in. That has been scientifically proven by a guy in the University of Southern California. He wrote a book about it recently, I think, a couple of months ago, whereby he has a way of 5-day fasting per month, and saw that only like 500-600 calories per day and or juices and certain foods only, and they saw then that the cancer stem cells reduce, that the cancer cells are reduced, that the healthy stem cells increase, and then you get a rejuvenation of the whole system that goes with it all the time. And it's 5 days a month that you do this, not even a complete fast. We have seen that people, for example, who are on a ketogenic diet and with the fats and all the rest of it and low glucose, if you do that too long, then the liver starts to react. The liver will start to produce glucose. And after some time, it produces so much glucose that it does what you try to do. So if you once a week tell them to eat more carbohydrates and more protein and all the rest of it, then after a month or 2 months, they see that the blood glucose sugar levels in them is actually lower than the ones who all the time continuously do a low glucose diet. And I just want to emphasize that.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, you mentioned studies and how useful they are and everything. I just wanted to talk a bit about the role of evidence in medicine generally, and also your particular approach. I mean, on the face of it, evidence appears to be a great thing always, but in conventional medicine, it's become increasingly prescriptive. to the point where it's really been described as cookbook medicine. And Lord Saatchi tellingly described treating cancer patients as endlessly repeating a failed experiment. That's kind of where the evidence has gone in mainstream medicine. So I just wanted to say a bit more about the role that evidence plays in informing your treatment recommendations.
Well, as I said, you must read the studies. There are many studies around that are not used or will only be used in 10, 20 years' time. There is the lack of resources or money nature. There is the pressure to just use a particular protocol, non-individualized, even though the evolution of medicine, including hospital medicine, is more towards individualized medicine, because we know for ages already that particular medicines can, like painkillers, in certain people, it can increase the pain, or it works as well. Or according to the genetic predisposition, we know that certain medicines can aggravate certain people. We're getting more and more in that medicine, but it seems to be restricted to research hospitals of doing that, and the rest of the patients get a sort of standard treatment.
Yes.
It's just like someone who is 20 stone or someone who's 8 stones can get the same drug and the same doses. That's just, we're talking about dosages here. So these things have to be adapted more, but we have a problem here, which is delicate in a way, that I think the bill of Lord Saatchi that you just mentioned was torpedoed in the House of Lords.
Yes.
That was with his wife and his deceased wife, I mean.
He was trying to bring in a bit more creativity so that doctors could actually... in cases where there was no hope for somebody, instead of giving them a treatment which they know doesn't work because it's standard, could actually try something more promising using clinical expertise. I mean, we really need that, but it was, as you say, it was torpedoed.
Well, I don't understand why they torpedoed that. I won't go into the politics here of it, otherwise I get into hot water.
Right.
Because we're in the broadcasting, and... in the West, more and more, we see that, for example, America, unfortunately, is turning into a parallel version of the former Soviet Union on certain aspects in politics. So that spills over in Europe. Plato, already 2,500 years, saying tyranny is the ultimate end game of democracy. Thomas Jefferson said that in 1776, as well as the second president, John Doyle, I think, whatever his name was, Doe, said that repeatedly. He was vice president under George Washington. And I begin to believe it, the way it goes in Europe. We're getting into politics here, but I have to mention it, because we're getting into that sort of politics these days, where, that's what I said early in the beginning, you had the big lanes of freedom in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
You have, strangely now in Germany, they have an anti-Hitler law.
Yes.
And because Hitler told doctors exactly to do what they didn't want to do, so they have in their constitution that doctors need to be controlled by their peers and checked out, but at the same time, the state cannot impose what doctors can do or not do. Hence, Germany has higher rates of survival because they have a whole range of doctors who look at these things completely legally, which you cannot do in many other European countries.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it? Germany is a kind of world leader in integrated medicine for cancer because of the freedom they have to do it.
That's right. It's one of the strange things that I call it the Hitler law, but it's a complete anti-Hitler law. So I wish every country had a law like that, so that progress can go without being controlled. I do realize that certain controls obviously are necessary for the shipments and Staffordshire or whatever, but I know people have died unnecessarily, and that obviously needs to be avoided. But we must take into account and examine if people have not died because we didn't have this freedom to actually do what they want to do. And that's a question that needs to be answered with a thorough study. But, you know, what you touch upon is a very sensitive subject. And we have, in this day and age, a narrowing of freedom all over the world. It's as if we're back in the 1920s and 30s, or 30s, I would say, here in Europe, more and more. In name of the higher good, of course. It's always in name of the higher good. So, but the studies are there. You only have to read them. You can go through them. And many of these people have not done their homework. We have to look at all these things. But at the same time, you know, we can get crushed by these institutions.
We have to work with what we have, And so you're clearly working with the situation you have, and you've clearly been helping a lot of people. I think we're going to wrap it up. Thanks very much indeed for talking to us today, Etienne. I'm sure many listeners will have appreciated you sharing some of your accumulated experience and wisdom.
Thank you.
You will have gathered from that what a keen interest in and passion for cancer care Etienne has. You can find links to material mentioned in the interview on the Yes to Life website. That's yestolife.org.uk. Just click the show logo on the homepage. I wanted to give a plug to our book, The Cancer Revolution. It's sold really well. We've just had it reprinted and it's attracted some excellent reviews. It's got a 5-star rating on Amazon. And this is what the most recent review has to say about it. It's headed absolutely fantastic. This book is a brilliant resource for patients who are interested in integrative therapies, so well laid out, clear, thorough, and packed full of information. If friends and family are skeptical about treatment preferences, something which can make a very stressful time even worse, this book will help to reassure, showing so clearly as it does that integrative medicine is valid, realistic, and will be the medicine of the future. More and more of us are concerned about what we put into our bodies and how we're treated by the medical profession in all senses of the word. I only wish this empowering book was around 6 years ago when I was diagnosed. Well done, and a massive thank you to Patricia Pete, Yes to Life, and everyone involved in the production and wonderful design of this fantastic book. So it's written by integrative medicine expert Patricia Pete of Cancer Options, with contributions from 37 other experts. It's a fantastic resource for anyone with cancer or who has had cancer, and a lovely gift too. You can buy it from booksellers such as Amazon, but you can also get it direct from thecancerrevolution.co.uk, where you can find out a lot more about it. Thanks for listening today. Next week, I'm hoping to be able to share some stunning new study results that could be a game changer in cancer treatment. I hope you can join me. Goodbye.